my listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 20th, 2014. Brother Alan Turner, I know this is short notice, and I know I've not given you any time to prepare or think about what you may say or may not say, but as it says in 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So, on this Testimony Tuesday, on the short notice, I know in season and out of season, you always love to declare the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. And so, what's the Lord been teaching you lately? And how about giving us, the Great News Radio listener, a testimony today?
Well, Mark, it's good to be back on your show. I think this is, over the years, I guess it's number five or six interview. And why you keep coming back to me, I don't know, other than the fact that you always do so and give me about 2 hours notice to speak. And I think it was John Wesley, the great English preacher of the 18th century, who said that if he only had 2 hours to preach, he'd spend an hour in prayer. So that's all I could do for this. And then you dump on this on me this precious verse, which actually was one of my favorites when I was in England growing up at Bible school. And it's one that sadly, as I'm honest about my life and the 53 years of being a believer, you know, is not one that I've always honored. I'm being honest about that. You know, look how it starts here. In your hearts, the New International Version of the Bible says, set apart Christ as Lord. Well, you know, when you set apart Christ as Lord, or as the King James says, you sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, you know, we really are honoring the sovereignty of God. And that can either be a theological cliche or theological belief for us, the belief of God's sovereignty, or it can be something that practically we apply in our Christian lives. I would imagine that the majority of people listening to this radio interview are Christian believers, as you and I are, by the grace of God. And, you know, we receive such constant teaching, and I know that your show on Good News Radio, Mark, is just one of the, you know, of the opportunities that people have to grow in their faith. But what this verse is talking about, surely, is what do we do when we're challenged by the people in our society when God has called us into his kingdom to be salt and light to them? What he tells us here through Peter is that he wants us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have. I think that sadly today, Mark, we live in a post-Christian society, as the great Christian writer Francis Schaeffer once said, and we are living in times that, without using a cliche, certainly do signify that we are in that time in history which is very, very close to the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see evil triumphing all around. But you know the dictum as well as I do, that evil only triumphs when good men do and say nothing. And I think that one of the sad things I find as I travel churches throughout the world, both in the Western culture and in the third world nations, you know, particularly in the West, there's so much happening at such a rapid rate of progress today, but it's not progress for good, it's progress toward evil. And if ever we need to make a stand on what we know and give a reason for the hope that we have as Christians, that people can live a different life and go on a different journey and end up in a different eternity than the way most people are headed right now, then, you know, that time is now.
Hey, you know, I should let our listeners know, I know we just mentioned it, but you really literally had no notice and didn't know this was going to be the passage I'd open up with. You're turning into like my co-host on Wednesday and Friday, Pastor Jason Schiffo, where I just launch into a verse. He has no prep time. He's like, oh, here, let me divide that for you. And so you're kind of good to go. I'm glad this is a familiar passage with you. And it's one that I know many people use, that we should be always ready to declare the good news message of Jesus, because we should be prepared kind of in season, out of season. And that's kind of interesting you look at it. But I love how you began with it, but in your hearts. And that would be maybe the question for all of us as we start this day, or those that are listening to the re-airing of this program and in the evening. Have we set our hearts, you know, before the Lord? Have we asked Him to order our steps, direct our path for that day, present those divine appointments, those happenstances, if you will, those circumstances where we can infuse His power, His love, His goodness into the conversation, whether it's through verbalizing or through our deeds? But we're kind of needing to be all in when we're setting our hearts towards Him, right?
Yeah, well, Mark, you know, I recall our last time of talking on the show, and again, I think you gave me about 3 minutes' notice then. And we actually, you perhaps don't remember it because you do so many shows every day, but, you know, we actually went into 1 Peter and we did a little bit of a Bible study in it. And here we're in 1 Peter again, and I want us to do the same thing because, you know, the Word excites me. I love the Word of God. And whereas I, you know, in my humanness and many times my flesh gets in the way and I haven't always walked in obedience, you know, and been blessed of the Lord because of that, nevertheless, where I stand today is that I am enjoying an intimacy with my Savior, Jesus. Yeshua is the real name for Jesus, the Hebrew name. But I'm enjoying an intimacy with Him that I can rarely recall in 53 years of being a believer. And the wonderful thing about the Word of God is you have to put, you know, 1 Peter 3:15, the verse you chose, in the context of the entire chapter. Because as you know, and I'm sure the listeners know, when the Bible was written, there were no chapters and verses.
Mm-hmm.
And so the context is that Peter has just been writing about the importance of the lips and the eyes in verses 10 through to 12. And he's talking about it there, you know, warning the believer to keep his tongue from evil, to watch what he says with his mouth, to turn from evil, and then to use those same lips in prayer, in the right way, and the right use of the tongue. You know, I was sharing with someone the other day, there was a group of pastors who asked me and said, well, what do I believe is one of the biggest problems in the church today? Well, that's such a massive subject. But I will tell you what it is. It's the tongue. I don't have a problem as a pastor, you know, dealing with men and women who've been in adultery or stolen or even committed murder, if you like. But I have a massive problem. And by the way, I'm not condoning those sins, not at all. But what I'm saying is that people who find themselves having committed those things, I have the biggest problem with a gossip in a church. Because a gossip in a church with his or her tongue can do more harm than good. I once pastored a church in Toronto, and we had a lady there who caused all kinds of division and dissension within the church. And the only answer I knew or God gave me at the time was to pray. And so we prayed and we said, Lord, you are sovereign, which is what Peter is doing here. He's saying, honor God's sovereignty in your heart. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set him apart as Lord of lords and King of kings. And so we came to the sovereign God and we said, God, this lady has caused more pain and hurt than anything I've ever experienced in this church. Please, this is your problem. Would you do something about it? You know what happened? Her life came to an end. God took her life. Yeah, it may be hard for some of your hearers to hear this morning, but you know what? God will do that. We need to be very careful with our lips, how we pray. And you know, Peter is talking about that in verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their prayer. Be very, very careful, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, how you pray. And then when it comes to witnessing, you were asking about witnessing before we started the show, Mark. You know, always be ready to give a defense. This is what it says here. In the New International Version that I use, more so perhaps than the King James, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. My evangelism is probably something that I personally feel ashamed of in a way, because when I was a young Christian in London in the mid-60s, at the height of the Beatles era and the modern rock and roll, etc., you know, I would evangelize everywhere I went, on the subways, on the underground, on the buses, it doesn't matter who. I was that on fire. I'm sad that my fire is not that way today, but I also know that the passion to reach unsaved men and women with the gospel of Jesus Christ is still within me. I am still aware that beyond this life, men and women have to face God, either as Savior and receive the blessing of eternal life in his presence, or as judge and be condemned to a lost eternity. And that's why we always as believers need to be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks us. We perhaps don't have to go out and hand out pieces of literature and gospel tract and cajole everyone today, because we live in such a biblically illiterate world in which even the word sin is not even understood by the masses. But there are those people who are hungry because they hurt so deeply from broken marriages, broken homes, broken relationships, financial hardship, tragedy in their families and lives. We need to be ready to give a defense to everyone so that when the gospel is attacked, and Peter has been talking about that in the previous verses, when the gospel is attacked, we need to have a defense to everyone else. Why have you got hope in your heart to see you through this life and into the next? And that hope, I believe, can only be found in a living relationship with God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hey, Ellen, as I'm looking at the text here, and it says, you know, always be prepared to give the answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason.
Right.
Is that somewhat implied, at least in this passage? I know there's many other verses, and you don't want to create a pretext just out of one verse, but is there almost a teaching here that you almost have to wait for them to ask, or under certain circumstances, be waiting, don't initiate until they ask, or should we always just proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ?
Would you agree with me, Mark, that in the way the Lord deals with us, often he deals with us dualistically? In other words, he's saying one thing, but there's also another side to what he's saying. You know, that he can minister to you, but he's also ministering to someone else in a relationship with you. And I believe that that's what's true here. If I were to say in response to your question, well, yeah, and we just need to sit back and fold our arms and never say a word to anyone until we're asked, to me, the enemy would jump on that,
yeah,
and would just, you know, he would so influence the believer that they would say, well, I'm too busy. My job's busy, you know, I've got sports at night, I've got family, I'm too tired, I haven't got time to read the word, I haven't got time to pray, and I certainly am not interested in mixing with the world. I want to stay happy with a holy bunch of Christians week by week, Sunday by Sunday, night by night. And that would be wrong. But at the same time, you're right. I think there's a place where when we live in meekness and fear, the way that Peter describes here in verse 15, when we have a good conscience that even though we don't live holy, righteous lives, you know, that are so holy that we are radically different from the world today, nevertheless, there is a difference in behavior, in the way you and I act as Christians out there in the world. There has to be a difference between us and the people in our office, or the people in our factory, or the people in our school who are not believers.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not, then I really believe that we need to examine ourselves. We're always taught in Scripture, examine yourselves, test yourself to see whether you be in Christ. And when Peter talks about the word reason, he's obviously here, he's writing to say to these believers, look, you need to understand the God that you've come to know, the Savior that you've come to know. You need to have a reason for the hope that's in you. And I don't believe it's enough, Mark, for us to go around like many did back in the 70s, say, oh, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. You know, it's too trite, it's too cheap. We need to know and tell people who Jesus is and why coming to him and receiving his forgiveness is the only way of salvation. Why going to a confessional box in a Roman Catholic church is not enough. Why having a Buddha in the home is not where it's at. Why bowing down, you know, on a mat towards Mecca is not the answer. We need to know the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man in the world comes unto God the Father except by and in and through me. That's the message that we're to take. And we need to have a reason. We need to understand who this God is. What kind of God is he? He's not someone that we bring a shopping list to with our little prayers every day in the way I hear so many people pray, and the way I used to pray, to be honest. But, you know, I think Jesus, when he taught us to pray, said, begin by worshiping God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. He lifted and elevated up his Father before the disciples. And that's how we need to come to God in prayer. To acknowledge the sovereignty of God, which is what this verse 15 in 1 Peter 3 does. Acknowledge Christ and revere him as Lord in our hearts. And then to have a reason why I have this glorious hope within me that gives me not only a purpose for this life and this journey, which is a tough, tough journey, but it gives me a hope whereby I can say, when I leave this world, and I don't know when it's going to be, none of us do, but when I do, I know that when I go, I am going to be with Christ, which is far better.
In case you just tuned in, I have Alan Turner on the phone with me. I've called him up in British Columbia in the Northland, Northeast, many, many miles away. He grew up in Bournemouth, England, and he came to mind yesterday as I was doing an interview with Graham Barry, who's the general manager and owner of Soccer Planet, and he was from London. And so I was thinking, I don't have anyone scheduled for Tuesday, but I never got around to touching base with Alan till just a couple hours ago and said, hey, might you be available? And through some emails and some messaging, he said, sure. And he's kind of, I won't say winging it, because I started with this 1 Peter 3:15 verse and you just jumped right on it. And thank you for kind of not only sharing that important nugget about, you know, how God many times has a scripture layered. It has multiple meanings. And sometimes he can even personally breathe truth into me that's very specific for me to respond to something, and yet something a little different from you, but it's always to be compared with other verses and sounded through other Christian men and women, and, you know.
I think, Mark, excuse me interjecting, sure, my friend, but I think that if you ever gave me as much as a day's notice to speak in one of your shows, I would probably collapse from shock.
Yeah. Well, that's why I got to keep you on your toes. Keep you going. That was one of the things I think I put in an email. What's the Lord been teaching you lately? And so as I mentioned, there are some archive programs. Just look at the name Alan Turner when you search 2011, 2012, 2013. And you're the author of a book titled, Is God Finished with Israel? And I think you're working on a second edition.
Yeah, I've been asked by the publisher if I would do a second edition, so I am. We're going to change the front cover, and I'm not sure that I'm going to change the title. I'm thinking of changing it and giving the positive rather than the negative, although the answer, of course, to Is God Finished with Israel is a simple N-O. But I thought I'd better write more than just N-O in my book, so I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, the second edition will be out in a few weeks, and I'll certainly let you know when that happens, Mark. But if people want a copy of the present edition, I have a whole bunch here, which I'm very, very prepared to let go at cost. $10 plus P&P. So it would only be, what, $17, I think, $16.95. And I will be happy to send you a signed copy. So if they write to me at destinyofisrael.com, that's my website.
Destinyofisrael.com, okay.
Yeah, and the email for that would be menorah, M-E-N-O-R-A-H, M-E-N-O-R-A-H, menorah, as in Jewish candlestick, menorah65@gmail.com. That's menorah65@gmail.com. Ask for a copy of the book.
Copy of the book, and about $17 will probably be the cost, and that's for the cost of the book and shipping and handle.
Yeah.
Hey, one other thing. I know we only have a couple minutes left. You're also working on a new book, maybe entitled Loving Yourself or that concept. Mm-hmm. Is that almost drawn a little of this, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord? Is it as you've set him apart, as you've given your heart to him, you're feeling that love? And or what's the concept here about loving yourself?
No, not quite as straightforward as that, Mark. I just know from with believers all over the world, and I've been privileged to travel to about 20 countries now, I just know that particularly here in the West, many of us have been through all kinds of hurts and pains and tragedies, and Mark, you haven't been aloof from this either. You've gone through something in your own personal life, I know, and I have too. And, you know, a lot of the stuff and the hurts and the wounds that we carry into adult life, even as believers, we may be saved from the penalty of sin, and we are saved for eternity, but emotionally and psychologically and personality-wise and temperament-wise, we are still dealing with stuff that we've inherited from our past, whether it be the way we're raised as children and adolescents, or maybe their tragedies and sadness and heartaches we've incurred as adults. You know, Jesus said something so profound. He said, "You cannot love your neighbor unless you love your neighbor as you love yourself." And it's the as you love yourself bit that I want to concentrate on in this book, which I hope will be out by Christmas.
Hmm. So how can they get in touch with you one more time? We got to close out here, but I want to give that website and an email address, and if they're interested.
Yep, they can write to me at Menorah, M-E-N-O-R-A-H, 65@gmail.com. And the website in which they can find out about the ministry is Destiny of Israel, DestinyOfIsrael.com.
And if they weren't able to write that down, maybe they're traveling to and fro, or maybe they're heading out to the pitch to kick that football around, huh?
Well, I hope it's a round one, Mark, not one of those oblong things you have in the States.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we'll talk some more about that. Who knows? We may have you come in for Soccer Planet and be a part of a team someday, or maybe coach here locally. We'll see how God works.
I'll tell you what, Mark, I'd like to do one quick thing. 1695 is an odd number. I am prepared to cover the postage and packing. I will let your listeners, just because it's you, Mark, and we've known each other and been friends for a long time, I will let them have them for $15. That includes the postage and packing, which is $7. So they're getting it below cost.
Is God Finished with Israel by Alan Turner, who as of yesterday was on Facebook. So you can see he's one of my Facebook friends. So he only has one photo posted at this point. So.
Yeah, and probably that will stay that way, too.
Yeah. Hey, Alan, thanks for being available for today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Mark, always a pleasure and privilege for me to come on your show. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.